For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome, a podcast where me, Shane Told, I talk to other lead singers about what it's like to be the front man or front woman of a band. And oh, do we have a band for you today? I am talking to Ollie of Archspire, one of the most extreme of extreme metal bands, I would say. This band is fast, heavy. His vocals are really, really intricate, really cool, but also have an incredible songwriting thing going on. Their pop sensibility is unlike no other. And that's a reason why they won a Juno Award for Best Metal Record. Pretty cool, right? This is a really, really, really cool band that if you've somehow missed, you're going to want to check out. If you have, even if you don't like death metal or extreme metal, I think there's something in this band that you can see, which is really cool because that does not always happen in extreme metal. We're going to get to that in a second. It's a good one. But before we do, a couple little, you know, things I want to clear up. No, not really. I just want to let you know that you can always get in touch with me. You can email me, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read all my emails. And also, if you want to support the show, check out the All Access Club. That gets you some bonus content, bonus material, and you can become a part of just a great community of other fans of the show, other fans of music. It's really, really great. And also, you know, if you listen to this, maybe you are here because you like extreme metal, you like Archspire, you want to hear what Ollie has to say, you haven't listened to the show before, well, welcome. And I talk to singers from all different genres, but I have talked to lots and lots of metal vocalists. So just go back, scroll down to the 300 and something episodes, and you're going to find something that you like, even if it's from a few years back. You know, like when I talked to Scott from Carnifex, for example, there's just one off the top of my head. We talked many years ago, but there's lots here. So go back, listen to some old episodes because they're a lot of fun as well. Also, a little bit of news. We are on tour right now. My band Silverstein, that is, with Dayseeker, Sea Space Cowboy, and One Step Closer. You definitely want to come down and check out the show. Tickets on sale now. They're selling very fast. A lot of sold out shows already. So yeah, buy tickets. SilversteinMusic.com. Can't wait to see you. And yeah, we're having a lot of fun. Anyway, let's get into it, shall we? Let's not waste any more time. Here is my conversation with Ollie Peters of Archspire. Hey, man, there you are.
Yeah. What's up, dude?
How's it going?
I can't see you. I'm good, man. I'm just trying to figure out how to see you.
I don't even use the video. You can just turn it off.
Oh, you don't?
Nope.
Oh, sick. All right, cool.
And then that'll save you some bandwidth, too. I know you're on tour, so it'll be...
Yeah.
Sometimes the internet can be a little sketchy.
All right. Rad, dude. That's sick, because I look like crap.
No, I don't use the... We'll start right there. I don't use the video, so there's no point recording it. I'm here with Ollie of Archspire. Dude, thank you so much for taking the time out of your tour schedule over in Europe to spend a little time talking to me.
Of course, man. No worries, dude. Yeah. It's the kind of lull in the day. So it's like, you know, just pacing around, pissing everyone off. So yeah, kind of sick.
Right. That weird time between soundcheck and the show where you kind of don't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah. And you just start questioning all your decisions in your life. And it's like for like 2 hours. And then like after that you play and you're like, oh, everything's great. Like,
it's so what the fuck true. Was I doing? and I'm going to kind of spill the beans. We've tried to schedule this already and you had a little bit of a vocal issue and we had to reschedule it.
Yeah.
But that kind of goes right to what we're talking about, where you have those days on tour, you know, as a singer where you are so worried about the show and all day is like a nightmare. And then you do the show and you're totally fine or better than fine.
Yeah.
And then it's like, fuck, I worried all day. I like wasted the whole day worrying about this. And the show was
worrying.
Great.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing. That's one of the worst things about being a singer on tour.
Yeah, man. I compare it to a lot of like, yeah, it's like whenever you're about to do a thing that's important to you, it's like you build it up. Like I don't get like nervous before I go on and shit. But it's just like, you just overthink things because you just want to fucking, you're like, oh fuck, let's just get this over with. And yeah, like my voice was shot. So I was like overthinking it during the day. And then I played and it was like, yeah, my voice was cracking in between songs, but that's just funny. And, and you know, and it's like, and it doesn't fucking matter. Like everyone's still like, oh, that was sweet. I'm like, and that, you know, and then you're just hyped back up. So it's like, you get those little roller coaster days, you know, where you're like,
it's true.
Get down for a little bit during the day. And then you're just like, then you play and you're like, oh, everything's great. Like,
it's true.
Yeah, it's fucking.
Yeah, and it can be tough too. Like, you know, obviously you guys are from Vancouver. We're going to talk about all about your career. But being in France right now, France, I don't know how you feel about, you know, touring Europe, but it can be a little tough. Like, obviously the time difference, just you're so disconnected from what's happening at home. Like, right, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning right now at home. And
totally.
And the you know, what is it, 6 p.m. There or 7 p.m. there. You know, that's tough too. And not to mention France is like, I don't want to just throw them under the bus and say, it's kind of a boring country, but like kind of a boring country. There's not a lot to do, right? Especially where you guys are in kind of the middle of nowhere today.
Yeah. Today where it's a bit like, middle of nowhere shit. Like we felt like teenagers just like hopping over the freeway and like going to the mall.
Right.
And we were just dicking around in the mall. Right.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's sweet because you're dicking around with your friends and I don't know, but the time difference is luckily I actually don't really have like a ton of friends at home in Vancouver. So like, it's not really throwing me off, but obviously like my fiance is there and like,
sure.
It's like, you know, she's waking up when I'm like just starting work. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's a little tricky to navigate, but, you know, and then by the time you get off playing and you're like hanging out on the bus, fucking drinking, then it's like, then you just pass out. And then, you know, that's the prime time when they want to fucking chat. So
exactly.
It can be a little tricky to navigate, but you know, luckily she doesn't suck. So I'm very fortunate. But,
yeah. That's the best thing about a partner. Yes. You want them to not be the worst.
Yeah. Are you ever on tour? Have you ever been on tour with some, because there's generally a guy always on a tour package where it's like, he's dealing with that or not necessarily, I say guy because generally it's all dudes, but whatever, a person general, like that's with the, talking with their partner and it's like, you just kind of know they're dealing with that situation. Like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, you see the Pacers on the phone in the parking lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For like a, when it's a 45 minute to an hour pace around the bus out in the parking lot, you're like, uh-oh.
And they're not laughing.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
They're not smiling. You're like, oh shit, they're going through it. And that's when it's really bad because like what we were talking about before is like when you have those lull hours where you're just stewing during the day and you got nothing to really think about or do. And then if you add something like that to the equation, it's just like, that can make tour fucking suck. But luckily that's,
it's true.
Yeah. I don't know. That did happen to me in like one tour and I was like, all right, never again. So yeah, unfortunate
man.
Now. But,
yeah, man. Yeah. Well, I like this conversation already. We're kind of keeping it real here. We're kind of giving a sort of a personal look behind the curtain of what happens. That's, we don't always talk about shit like this, you know? So I like this conversation already. But you guys are on tour in Europe. How's it going so far? Obviously, like you guys have really seen, I feel a huge, you know, pickup of your career. Obviously, you know, since the last record, Believe the Future came out, but even, you know, just in the last, I want to say 6 months or so, I'm hearing everyone talking about your band. Things like the Juno win, congratulations on that. Obviously, they help.
Oh, thanks, bro.
But I mean, you know, Europe doesn't care about Junos, so this is probably pretty cool just to see this success. How's it feeling?
You know, it's feels fucking great for one. But it's also just like, it's just great when you have a product and you like the product, you put the work into the product, and then like, you know, you can only really hope for a good response, but you want to be confident that you can receive that positive response, and then just to see it unfold is really cool. And it's like, you know, and cause we had to cancel a European tour before this, which pissed some people off. Fair enough. Like I don't like, you know, buying tickets and then a show gets canceled.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, and then so, and now we're back here headlining and, you know, there was talk in the band of like, oh shit, like, you know, that's, you know, we haven't really done a killer headliner in Europe. So it was like, you know, so there's always the risk, but like, I kind of get off on risk factor. I think it's sweet.
Yeah.
Cause like, I'm just raised poor. So I'm like, anything extra is cool, but I don't really care, you know, if we do well or like, I mean, I care if we do well, I shouldn't say that. Sounds bad. But I mean, I'm like, I think I'm more into the risk side of things where like, let's do a move that might fucking not work and might fuck us. Cause you know, Europe's a huge overhead.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is.
You got like, yeah, you got the bus, you got flights, you got all the gear rentals, you got crazy merch orders. And so just to see it kind of come through. Oh, hey guys. Sorry, I just got a couple of people. I'm doing this on the bus because the venue is like,
no worries.
It's a bit rugged. It's a great venue, but yeah, a little bit rugged. There's like the outdoor with like little cubicles that are the green rooms and those are like loud as fuck. So
oh, it's all good. It's all
yeah.
It's all good.
Right on. But yeah, I think we were really fortunate because we managed to record during COVID, which a lot of bands didn't get to do. Right. So we flew over to Denver, during the pandemic, which was a bit freaky because we were like, what the fuck? Like it's blowing up over there, but that's where, Dave Otero, our producer, lives. Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, always want to use him. So we flew over there during the pandemic and we recorded the album and then, so, you know, we had fresh material when everything opened back up. And I think that a lot of bands kind of got fucked by, you know, cause they were touring their last album. And then that last album is 2 years old at that point. And then they're trying to, you know, revive that set with, you know, try to revive the, you know, the progress of that album. And I think it unfortunately, a lot of bands, it didn't really work for them. Right.
Totally.
So yeah, I just feel really fortunate that we managed to squeeze in a new album during that two years off. And then by the time we came back on the road, no one had heard those songs live. So it was just like a perfect storm for us to have the response that we've gotten and fill the rooms as much as we can, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, this is your third album and, you know, you've been a band for, you know, not a short amount of time, not a long time either. But obviously it takes a lot to write and record an Archspire record, I imagine, just because of how involved it is. There's a lot of notes in a short amount of period of time to work on. How much time did you take to make this last record, whether it was the writing process, you know, demoing it or actually recording it? How did that all work out?
I mean, yeah, like it takes us a long time to put out an album because I mean, the way that we write is, and we probably should have thought about writing differently, a different dynamic for writing, but we really couldn't because we're all very stubborn. And like, so like our dynamic for writing is everyone is at every jam and we all write every single thing together.
Oh, okay.
So there's not like one guy that's like, okay, I wrote these few riffs and like, and then we just figure out drums and vocals and bass. So it's like, one of the guitar players would come in with an idea and of a riff. And then usually we'll like, sometimes it'll just get squashed and we have like the rule, like if one person doesn't really like it, it's canned like immediately. So it just takes so long to get it to the point where we're happy with every element of every song. And then, you know, on top of that, so we have that really high filter, for criticism. And then we also, you know, and then we're on the road touring. So we can't really write like that while we're touring. So, you know, so we have to decide, okay, we're going to, you know, not do these tours and focus on writing. And so we'll just go to the jam space. You know, we were doing 5 days a week sometimes, and then we just got like really blown out on that.
It's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah.
So, you know, so it does take a long time, and it's like kind of a hard thing to just let everyone, you know, for everyone to understand, like for fans to understand that, like, you know, why does it take years to put out an album? But you know, it's not like we're sitting around like thumb up the ass, like, oh, we'll just hold off. You know what I mean?
No, totally. I mean, it does seem like your band, it seems a little stressful, honestly, because of this high level that you put into everything. Like everything has to be perfect. I think that you guys are setting a new level for, let's just call it extreme metal. Does that make things harder day to day? Or is that just kind of like you're all here with the same goal, the same mission, and you're able to kind of still be friends, even if you're sometimes at each other's throats with like, you know, creatively.
Yeah.
Because that can be tough. And a lot of bands break up because of that, you know?
They do. And like our kind of mentality is like, so we have like this thing where if someone gets frustrated, we make fun of them for getting frustrated and we all team up on them. So it's like, okay. we call it chicken blood. So if someone, it's kind of established from like blood in the water, like if sharks smell blood in the water, but for some reason it was chicken blood. So if someone starts getting pissed off and taking something seriously, or like, you know, if we like cut down a riff or like make fun of it and then someone gets upset, then we all just start balking like chickens and be like, you know, and be like, oh, because, and so it's a harsh dynamic, but what it does is forces you to kind of realize that you're not as important as you think you are. And you're like, you know, you're working in a business with other people, and like, it kind of helps you realize like things aren't as fucking important as you think they are, you know, or your feelings don't really matter. So okay. it sounds fucked up, but it's definitely helped us because then it is just about the product and you're like, yeah, someone's feelings are gonna get hurt, but they just gotta toughen up and just deal with it and come up with something else kind of thing. So, I mean, it has worked for us and we do, you know, we do get pissed off at each other, but we've just gotten used to the dynamic, you know, and we like the end result and everyone knows that. So it's like, it's worth sticking it out, you know?
Yeah. No, that's kind of interesting. I would have assumed that that's not the way that you write because a lot of bands in your genre don't write like that. A lot of it is like they write in the computer almost, you know what I mean? They write using guitar programs that they're putting notes in and playing it back. Like you guys actually are getting in a room and playing this shit. That makes it kind of even more impressive, honestly.
Oh, well, thanks, man. Yeah, but it does make it a lot more like you kind of go crazy, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
But I think it's a cool dynamic. So like we'll do that until we feel like we have like a skeleton of a song. And then we do full pre-pro before we hit the studio. We'll have everything recorded. And so basically what we'll do is like, then we'll like cut and paste some ideas with it. Once we get a skeleton of a song, then we'll put it into the computer. Like we'll track everything. Then we'll put it in the computer and be like, all right, what if we like put this riff back here?
Sure.
Just so we can kind of map it out a little bit.
For sure.
And because we also like our thing is we really want to have like catchy kind of what would be hooks if that's in tech death, right?
Totally,
like, and that's something like I want to have the name of the song in the song and I want to go back to the chorus. And so that there is like, sweeping and tapping and crazy shit going on. But at the end of the day, like the crowd is like, oh, okay, I understand this part, or this part's familiar, because like, so it's kind of adding, trying to add like a pop formula into tech death. And like,
totally.
So we're always very cautious of that and trying to be like, okay, like, even if someone doesn't like this music or they don't understand it, like, is there a part in the song that they might be able to groove to or might stick in their head?
Exactly.
You know, so.
Exactly. Yeah, man. And I actually had Pop Sensibility in my notes, but I didn't want to offend you by saying that. But that's a big part of, I think, your success is that you understand that. And, you know, I'm a huge metal guy. I wouldn't say metal is my favorite genre of music.
Yeah.
But I obviously like metal, but I find some death metal records, they're so tiring to listen to. You know what I mean? Like after you're listening to like an hour or something of a record, you're just like, oh my God, like I got through it, but sometimes it's tough. And with your band, I mean, if you take something like Drone Corp's Aviator, like that song in the first minute and 45 seconds, there's like eight different parts and you have little stops and little hooks and little sounds and your vocals are really interesting. And then you do say the name of the song in the song. So you remember which one it is.
Yeah.
That's all really, really cool. And I think that's setting you guys apart. And one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to you.
Oh, well, thanks, man. Yeah. Like it was something that we weren't originally doing, but it was something that was like, you know, because those songs stick with me, and like, it seems silly to be like, I have a favorite genre. Like, to me, that's just, I don't understand that at all. Like, I like 10% of pretty much, give or take, of every genre. 90% is usually kind of crap.
Right.
You know, yeah. So one of my favorite vocalists of all time is fucking Colter Wall, who's a country guy. He's a rancher from fucking Saskatchewan. Okay. And that's my favorite. Yeah.
Sick. Okay.
You know, but it's like when you have this kind of like almost like tough guy mentality. Compared to like, you know, like a construction worker being like, it's fucking lame to wear a hard hat or something. It's like, just, you know, like having any influence from popular music is somehow taking away from the genre or, you know, or what you want to do. It's like that formula really works because that's what the average person can understand. And like you're entertaining people, like you're a professional entertainer. So you want to entertain them and you want them to listen to what you're making. So it's like, I don't think it's like a sellout thing to make it more accessible to people, you know, because you're still doing shit that's mostly just annoying to the average person. So if you can make it slightly accessible, you know, I think it's like,
yes,
why not? You know, and it's a challenge too. Like it's challenging to do that, right?
100%. I mean, another thing you guys are doing at a really high level is just all your content, that side of things, which again, in the genre, sometimes I feel like you got a lot of nerds that have been ripping on guitars in their bedrooms their whole life and can play really fast. But when it comes to actually doing outside the box marketing and stuff like that, you guys are just incredible at it. I mean, everything from the video with your mom's reacting, which is like genius, you know, to all the other stuff you're doing, you know, like Jason Momoa, like working with him. I mean, I didn't know he was a metal guy, and you know, there's just all these kind of outside the box things. I really want to talk about the Kickstarter that you guys have to make the craziest,
for sure, man, yeah,
metal video of all time. Like all of this stuff is happening right now and it's all really exciting, and it's not something that the average death metal band is doing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something that we work on because we're independently managed. So we're, you know, like we'll write, but we're also like trying to come up with things like, how can we just be more entertaining for people, and, you know, and be more, you know, because like there is a lot of rigidness in the genre, and like, mm-hmm. and like we want people to come to a show and just be like, oh, I fucking had a wicked party. Like it was, you know, and like, yeah, and that's why we like, you know, like I'll just be a total idiot on stage and just like, and just embarrass myself. But if someone goes away, like being like, oh, that was really funny, or that guy sucked, at least there's like a memory there, or like, yeah. You know, like we're throwing a Twister board into the mosh pit on this tour to get people to play Twister before like a Wall of Death, which is just something that someone will be like, oh yeah, they did this, and that's really bizarre. So like, yeah, just trying to think outside the genre a bit is like, you know, we like coming up with just random things that we can do that kind of can set you apart, you know. But
totally.
The Kickstarter was that was fucking wild. I don't know, I was really stoked because, I mean, we did really well with the Kickstarter. But the funny thing is like, and we obviously got some comments, people being like, what the fuck? Why are you taking money from people or whatever? Like shit like that. But we'd already spent that amount, actually more, on the video before. I was like, oh, maybe we should try to like get some of that back so we can put more into the video.
Sure.
So, and we just did that out of pocket, which just drained our bank account because I was like, we came up with a very loose idea for a video and then I wrote it out and then I talked to my director friend and then we just had these writing session after writing session and ironed it out. And I went to my band. I was like, look, I know this is a giant waste of money. We're not going to make any money off of it, but it's a fucking going to be a sweet move. And when you're old, you're not going to give a shit about that money and you'll be able to watch this sick video. You know what I mean?
That's right. Exactly. Well, for people that don't know it, there's a Kickstarter. It's now ended actually.
Yeah.
It ended at over $81,000 Canadian. The goal was only 20,000 initially. And this is to make the craziest music video ever. Craziest metal video anyone's ever seen.
Yeah.
So now that you've completed the Kickstarter, it's done really well. You've written some things down. What's happening next? What's the time frame for when people can see this? Do you know what song it's going to be for? What's happening with all that?
Yeah. So it's actually almost totally wrapped in for production now. Because when we, like I wrote it quite a while ago and we've actually spent, I've probably been working on this for about 5 months before we even put anything out that we were doing it. So it's like, It's like full on film production. Like we have a full stunt team of like 20 people, 20 professional stunt actors, just to be, and we have a full practical effects team that worked on it for just months on end. Just constant writing, you know, writing meetings. And so now we're at the stage where it's been filmed. The effects crew is just doing like a little bit of extra filming. And then I'm going to sit down with the director and his assistant director, and we're just going to edit the shit for just, you know, hours and hours and hours. And then it should be out like mid-April. So
nice.
Yeah. And I'm super excited about it. It's like everything that I want to see in a video. And it's like, you know, it's hopefully will stand out for the genre, you know, because we've just like the standard music video where they, you know, you're playing in a garage or something and there's some lights and it's like, just want to do something, even if people are like, that's ridiculous. Like just something that's just over the top and like really fun, you know?
Totally. I know. I think it's awesome. I think all that stuff is, again, setting you guys apart and more eyeballs on you guys, obviously. Right. And that's the goal. More people will come to your shows and all that stuff. Another thing you guys have coming up is, your tour that you are supporting, White Castle. Probably the funniest press release ever. I'm going to read it real quick. This is what you guys wrote. America, we just got the news. We're stoked to announce we'll be supporting White Castle on their headlining tour. We are, of course, huge fans of their tiny sandwiches. And now here, they have also branched out into extreme metal. Really surprised us. Paper's rustling. Oops, sorry. Read that press release wrong. White Chapel is headlining the tour. Jeez, that makes a lot of sense. Super excited to be supporting a band alongside friends, Signs of the Swarm and Entheos, etc. Anyway, now we're going to have to rethink the catering for the tour because we assumed we'd be getting free food. Putting some humor into a genre that sometimes can be humorless. I love that. But it's going to be a big tour for you guys. Seriously, starting April 14th in Atlanta.
Yeah, we're super stoked on it. It's like the back-to-back thing is like, it's a lot.
Right.
But we really want to do it. And it was just like a good next step for us because, you know, it's like the rooms are just a bit bigger than, you know, like the rooms are kind of climbing a little bit. And, you know, the capacities of these rooms are a bit bigger. And I also feel like, you know, there's like, you know, Whitechapel's obviously way more established than we are. So it's like always exciting to be like, okay, there's going to be, you know, people there never heard us before.
Totally.
And that's really awesome. So yeah, we're really looking forward to it. And I think it'll just be fucking awesome. We won't be tired. We'll be fine. We get 10 days off in between. So we're just going to rest up and kill it. It'll be great. And we're super stoked to be touring with Entheos for like 2 months. Because they're on this one and then they're on that one.
Right.
And they're just like the raddest crew ever. So we get along super well and they crush every night. So if anyone out there hasn't heard of Entheos or heard them, you should definitely check them out. They're fucking awesome.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
It's an interesting time right now for extreme metal. I mean, you've seen certain bands and things blow up, like on platforms like TikTok, which like I never thought I'd see. You know, like things like bands like Lorna Shore have really put the genre into kind of a new place.
Yeah.
Where younger people are finding out about this kind of music.
Yeah, which is so cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about that and how, if you're seeing that at your shows, like, are you seeing younger people coming out? Are you getting like, I don't know, messages and stuff from people and you're like, really, this doesn't look like, or seem like what it used to be, you know, in terms of the fan base.
I mean, like, well, I mean, me personally, which doesn't matter, but I'm not like on social media anymore. Okay. So I don't get messages, but the band definitely does. And the overall kind of, I think the crowds are getting younger. Like, and for us, like our demographic is fairly young, which is great. You know, that's kind of, you know, what we want. Or, I mean, we don't really care who wants to listen to us, but getting that younger crowd is just really encouraging for the future of the genre, you know? And
totally.
I think I've never been on TikTok. I think like Dean puts me on there. He puts videos of me on there sometimes. But I think it's like that, again, it's like that thing where it's like, oh, like if you do that as a metal band, then that makes you lame. Whereas a band like Lorna Shore is like, here's a tool to get people to the shows. And, you know, and like, and that's just smart marketing. Put out your music.
No,
like,
exactly.
So I think any avenue shouldn't be off the table for marketing your product, as long as, you know, the product is awesome. And like those guys, like their new album's so super cool, you know, and they've just done such an excellent job of like wrangling young kids to get into like extreme music. So it's like,
yeah. Yep.
I think that, you know, and if any band is like, oh, that sucks, it's like, well, then that's just animosity or that's just jealousy or something like that, because they're helping everyone out, because those kids are going to listen to Lorna Shore and then they're going to scroll through on Spotify and, or wherever the platform will be for them, and then discover everyone else. So yeah, I think it's awesome.
Absolutely. I mean, the scene in Vancouver, obviously there's been, you know, like Devin Townsend, and there's been like a lot of really important metal bands, and people from out there. But I always, you know, being Canadian and stuff always is tough to break ground in the States, you know, with just the border and the visas and all that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that slowed you down at all? Or has that been a challenge just being where you're from and just having to deal with all that shit? Or are you guys just whatever, man? That's the smallest worry we have with what we have to do, contend with our music.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I think when we started doing it, everything was so challenging that it's just part of the process.
Right.
And so, you know, you're not at a level where you're like, ah, oh, this fucking sucks, because you're like, okay, everything sucks. Like, and especially like touring across Canada, which we started doing, were doing that. So and a hard. Lot of bands don't do it because it sucks. Like, it's brutal. And the middle of it is just like nothing. So it's like doing those tours then made it easier for us to just like, you know, then as tours started to get a little more comfortable each time. And as we had to go a little bit further, everything was just, which is so much more grateful for everything else, because it's like,
right.
After you do Canada, you're like, you know, after you eat dog shit, every meal tastes great, you know? So,
especially being from Vancouver. Like, I mean, like,
yeah.
Cause you, if you're going to Toronto or further, like you got to get all the way back home.
Yeah.
It's so, people don't realize, like,
yeah.
You know, a lot of Americans are listening to this probably more than Canadians. Well, I have the stats. I know it's mostly Americans that listen to this. Oh. And a lot of people don't understand just how few cities there are across Canada.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about, maybe
how massive it is.
Maybe five what you'd call major markets, and they're not even really major markets between Toronto and Vancouver.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty tough.
Yeah, it is. And you know, the crossing over into the States, like we've never had an issue with it. Our label luckily is like so awesome at helping us with the visa stuff.
Yeah.
Which has been really helpful. But like for young bands, it can be just like, you know, super, super harsh to get that process down. But yeah, luckily, Season of Mist just helped us out with that. And, you know, and like I was born in California, even though I'm Canadian. So like it's kind of nice to put my passport first, and they're like, oh, cool. Like you're an American. So,
right.
But I mean, but yeah, it's just like, once we got to the level where we were going over more, it was pretty easy. So yeah. But then getting back into Canada, they always fuck with you. Which, like, the Canadian border is so much worse. Every you hear horror stories about the American border, and they're always like, oh, what band are you guys? Oh, it's fucking awesome. I like System of a Down or whatever. And then they wave you through, you know, and like coming back into Canada, they're like, they've actually pulled me aside and been like, hey, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm the vocalist. They're like, does that hurt your throat? I'm like, what? well, how is that a question to let me back into my own country?
Right.
And
this
fucking, what the fuck is that? Just like grilling you. Like, yeah, I don't know. So
we've pulled up and had one time an agent just said to me, I was driving and he said to me, how much marijuana is in the vehicle? And before I had a chance to answer, he pointed at our bass player riding shotgun and went, when was the last time you smoked?
Fuck.
We're just like, whoa, coming in hot here.
Yeah, dude.
Like it's 3 o'clock in the morning. We're just trying to get home. We're driving back home from like, I don't know, fucking Ohio or something. Like, Jesus, just let us be. It is crazy sometimes with that.
Yeah, it sucks. I think because they have like I think Canada has this like, you know, image abroad of like being super nice and polite and kind of pushovery. So they have to like extra flex, you know?
We have to fuck with each other, I guess. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so this Jason Momoa thing is really interesting. Obviously, this is one of the biggest A-list actors in the world. And he is a fan of you guys. I didn't know he's a metal guy, but he actually handpicked you to show him some death metal kind of vocal techniques. And then in return, you had a cameo in C. Is that basically what happened?
Yeah. Basically, like, so we were on a tour through the States and had some Canadian dates. And we were just happened to be in Vancouver on this one day. And the makeup effects artists that work on our videos, this was before they were doing our videos, but like one of them is my girlfriend, and she was working with a dude who was doing Jason Momoa's makeup, and he had all his vinyl because he flies with his record player and all his vinyl and shit.
Oh, cool.
And I guess had an Arcspire album, and was like listening to it, and the dude was like, "Oh, that's Ollie. I know that guy." And he was like, "Oh, what the fuck? Like, give me his phone number." So he just called me out of the blue, and I didn't really know who he was at the time, because it was like, I guess Aquaman just came out, and I didn't really watch like Aquaman. So I was like, oh, who is this dude? And he just called me and he's like, hey, come to my like house that he was renting, whatever. So I just went down there and talked to him, and he's like, okay, here's the part. I'm doing like a battle cry. It's like, I'm doing like a war chant thing. And he's just a big fan. And he's like, I want to write something that's like super fast for it.
Oh, right.
Which is weird, because I guess like he came up with the idea because everyone was blind in the show, that like there was a blind trainer. Sorry, if I'm trailing off, you can cut me off at any time. but there was like a blind trainer that was on set, and he would read his emails at like hyperspeed, like because he couldn't see. And so Jason was like, oh shit, maybe if in the future everyone's blind, then they like can fucking talk really fast. So he kind of got the idea to do like a speed metal kind of war cry. So anyways, yeah, I wrote the battle cry for him. It ended up getting cut, like most of it got cut from the show. But yeah, we'd go back and forth and I'd send him shit. And then I came back to Vancouver and I lived with him for a week while they were filming, and just slept on his couch and got wasted with him.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was wild. He was like, oh, you want to just come hang out on set? I was like, okay. So just got wasted for a week. And then we did the show. And most of them my scene got cut, but I got one line that I wrote is still in the show. So I was like, that's fucking sweet.
That is sweet.
But
random.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild experience. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. No, that reminds me a little bit of like a modern version of like, you know, Cannibal Corpse being in
Ace Ventura.
Yeah, you know, and Jim Carrey kind of handpicked them to be in it. But that's something that, you know, they're still talking about in interviews like all these years later. So
Yeah. Obviously
this isn't quite the same thing, but it reminds me of it a little bit, you know?
Totally. Yeah, it's just, and again, it's like any time fucking death metal can get into mainstream in any way, it's just a win for death metal all over the place.
It is 100%. Growing up, was Cannibal Corpse a band you liked? What did you listen to? Because I really wasn't expecting you to say Coulter Wall was your favorite singer. Was not expecting that one.
No. I guess that makes sense. Yeah. Cannibal Corpse, obviously, we all consider them just kind of the elite. You know, obviously, like, and just growing up with them in high school, like when there was like Napster or some shit, or you just like, it was a matter of like, pissing off everyone at the party, or like your friends that were all girls because they put on like all the pop stuff. And then you'd be like, oh yeah, this is called like Fuck with a Knife or whatever. And it was like bragging about how brutal it was because you're a teenager and you think it's super cool. Yeah. You know, but I didn't really appreciate how awesome Corpse Grinder was at that time. I just thought it was like super awesome. And then, you know, now like listening to him and how long he's gone as a vocalist, and it's just so solid and brutal. And like, he just kind of seems like he's, you know, he's up there, but it took me a while for him to become like one of my favorite vocalists, you know, like before it was like Chino from the Deftones when I was a kid,
right,
was like the best vocalist ever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Cause you're young and it's all like, you know, fucking screaming and just aggressive shit. But yeah, I think for me, it always changes. Like the favorites always change. And like, you just hear someone and you're like, holy fuck, how do they do that? And then you just get super into it and listen to them every day. And then maybe move on to something else. Right.
Totally.
But I don't know. Like, yeah. What was some of yours though?
Oh, well, you know, for me, I was always into like Metallica and Black Sabbath were like my favorite bands early on. And then I got into punk rock and that kind of changed it for me. But I will say, like one of my favorite artists is David Bazan, Pedro the Lion, who's also like a total folk singer with a very low voice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's true. Like sometimes we're drawn to people that we can't emulate because, you know, totally, we're like, yeah. Oh wow. Like, for example,
like I can never do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I am not an art person. Like I am terrible mm-hmm. at like, if you asked me to draw a picture of a cat, it would be fucking hilarious. I'm terrible at that.
Oh man.
So anytime I see
we have a contest, dude, we should have a cat drawing contest after this. But yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. And then, so every time I see something visually, like so incredibly artistically, or I have friends that are just like drawing on a napkin and they do something amazing, I'm like, how the fuck do you do that?
Yeah.
Like that to me is really, really impressive.
Totally.
But when I hear like somebody hit a really high note in a song, I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess that's good. You know, like, sure.
Yeah.
It's weird, right? I guess that's maybe how, you know, we kind of, we see ourselves and everyone else a little bit.
For sure. But I think it's kind of cool because it forces you to get influence in areas you wouldn't normally, because if you're always, you know, if all of your favorite vocalists are in the same genre as you, like, yeah, you can, cause you, no matter what, you're going to start emulating things that you really aspire to, you know, and that you really respect. But there is that kind of element of like, I could never do that. So I'm really impressed by it. But then you end up trying to fit it into what you do, you know, and like, or I do at least. And then like,
yeah,
I kind of compare, like my girlfriend has long blonde hair and I like that a lot because I'm bald. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the opposite. I can never do that. So I'm like, that's sick.
That's very funny.
But yeah, and like it was like that with hip hop too, like, and like all gangster rap and shit. It was just like, you know, like I don't have those skills. And when you like hear those speed rappers, like that shit vocally is just my favorite, because they're just the speed that they can go at is so incredible.
Right.
And so like, you know, and I was like, okay, well I can't do that, but I can study it and figure out how they're placing their syllables, and I can incorporate that into what I do. Right.
That's really interesting. So, well, I'm sure if someone like Eminem heard you doing what you did vocally, he'd probably be pretty fucking impressed too. Cause you know, good luck. Well, he's just talking, hopefully. He's talking very fast. You have to scream, you know, you have to do those vocals that fast, which is very, very impressive.
Oh, well, thanks, man. I doubt he'll ever hear it, but,
you never know.
But, I mean, that would be sick, but, yeah, I've always wanted, it's just like, I don't know why it's like, doesn't really matter, but I've just like always wanted a rapper to like hear it and be like, oh, all right, he can spit. Like, I don't, even though it wouldn't mean anything, it would just be like a bit of validation, you know.
Exactly.
Probably never happened though.
Exactly. Well, dude, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I know you have a show tonight, and you're about a week left of tour before you're coming over to back to the States to tour with Whitechapel. I did it.
I got you on it.
Those mini awesome burgers, dude. Man, they'll get in your head.
Oh yeah.
What else to tell the people before I let you go? I really appreciate you doing this.
Oh man, yeah, it was my pleasure, dude. So we're doing White Castle. We have a couple other tours coming out that I don't know if I can say where they are. I'm sure I could say where they are, right? Just can't say when.
But I think you could say where, just maybe not when and who.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, we got Australia and Japan happening.
Tight. Nice. Nice. That's amazing.
Yeah. So we're really excited for those. And we're doing some festival dates this summer in Europe as well. So
great.
Yeah. Super excited. And yeah, man, it was great talking with you, dude.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I will leave the people with the song. Do you have a favorite from the last record I can play for the people?
Oh no, man. I hate our music, dude. I never listen to that shit.
Cool. Then I just won't play a song. I just won't play anything. Just silence. Totally.
Yeah. Shit. No, maybe you just pick one. Dealer's choice, bro.
I like that. I will. I'll curate the perfect Arch Spire song to go along with this interview.
Sick.
No, Ollie, thanks so much, man. Have a great show tonight. Hope the vocals stay intact, and hope to see you around.
Awesome, man. Good talking, dude.
Yeah, man. Take care.
Cheers.
So there it is with Ollie. Such an interesting band. And you can tell just this guy's cut from a different cloth, man. That was really, really cool. And yeah, I mean, just all the different opportunities they've had already just since releasing Bleed the Future, just, you know, less than 2 years ago. It's going to be really, really cool to see this band just blow up. And if you heard him here first, I feel good. I'm doing my job. If you're a huge Arch Spire fan, good for you, because they are the absolute real deal. We'll be back next week with another episode. Make sure whatever you are listening to, just hit that button, that subscribe button, that follow button. It's there somewhere. Push it right now and keep these episodes coming at you. I will leave you with a tune as always. Ollie, he said, pick one, man. So I'm going to pick the first track on Bleed the Future. Here is Drone Corpse Aviator. Enjoy. Peace and love. We'll see you next week.